one of those things. A couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Friday. A happy hour Friday, all 4 hours, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee High Malt Whiskey. And Randy, I normally ask you how you're doing, but I've seen the picture. I know you're doing great.
Oh, man. Well, what's happening, man? Yes, it is our midday show, happy hour. I'm always happy, man. I get to work with you. I get to sit there and I get to work with you. And, of course, you know, my wife came up with this great idea because we haven't done it in a while as far as showing the pictures of what we're actually going to be drinking this weekend. And she did a great picture, got my new hat on that she bought me. And, you know, considering the fact that Wendy's on vacation, it would have already been up. But because Brian is in charge of it, there's no telling when it's going to be up. So it'll be up there eventually on our page or whatever. But, yeah, I'm doing good, man. You know me, baby. It's Friday. The weather is cleared up, and it's Friday, and I get to do this for 4 hours. I get to hang out with you for 4 hours. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about, and, you know, and like you said, it's happy hour Friday here on the Midday Show.
Well, and you're right. I mean, there's just so much going on. It's crazy how much is happening this weekend in the world of sports locally with the Braves back at it tonight. I know they're not playing at home, but the Braves back at it tonight. Max Fried off the IL. Couple starts in for him before the playoffs get here. Both the Marlins and the Phillies lose last night, by the way, so the Braves' lead extends a little bit, and 10 games left, and, you know, barring something horrible, they're going to be in the playoffs in a couple weeks, which would be phenomenal. Football this weekend, of course, Georgia Tech's got a chance to go 2-0. They're underdogs at home, by the way, to a ranked UCF team. We'll talk about that throughout the show, and I mean, the Falcons, and we got golf, and we got NBA basketball. There's so many things going on. The Falcons have a game on Sunday in Dallas at 1 o'clock that I wish I didn't have to say this about, Randy, 2 weeks into a season. But given all of the context of the last couple of years and the talent that's on the roster and the continuity in the coaching staff and everything that happened in the offseason and losing the first week the way you did, it's a must-win. I mean, I know it seems ridiculous to say something like that 2 weeks into an NFL season, but it just is. Like, all that stuff added together with this Falcons team, they got to beat Dallas. Dallas is in a similar situation, too, which makes it even more complicated. But, I mean, we just, you know, coming in on Monday talking about another loss is not just going to be talking about another loss. It's going to be talking about a lot of other stuff, that storylines I'm not interested in getting into in the middle of September. So,
well,
It's a big game for them.
Well, yeah, it's a big game. And I look at must win as much of a crazy phrase as much as I got a chip on my shoulder. Every game's a must win. Everybody wants to damn win. You know what I mean? And they got to play well. You know, we did something Monday for the first time on my show. We had a 2 second with callers venting and everything. I want some good vents. I want some good vents Monday morning. You know, Monday morning, Monday afternoon. That's what I would like for this team to do. But, I mean, I could just go out there and just say what I want. They're the ones that got to go do it, and they got to get their mind set right on going out to Dallas. Like you said, they're in a situation just like them. They need to win this football game as much as the Falcons do. And right now, you know, as we transition into the actual game, we get away from what happened last Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks, this is a team that is just as talented, if not more, just pure talented than the team you just finished playing. You know, so you have got to amp your game up. You got to make sure, because the thing about it, Bunk, if they do lose, I don't want to see them lose the same way they lost last Sunday. I don't want to see the same repetitive mistakes, the same technical errors, the inability to, if you do go for it on fourth down, not to get it, the unblocked guy, the not being able to adjust when they might be doing something different than what you anticipated all week in practice, because that's going to happen. But how do you adjust to it? Everything is a week to week as far as game plans and adjustments. And it, again, it's a copycat league, so don't think that they didn't take some of the stuff that Seattle was successful with in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, and implement some of that into their game plan. Mike Nolan is a very smart defensive coordinator, and he's been around a long time. He's one hell of a defensive coordinator. I'm sure he has some wrinkles that the Falcons didn't practice this week that they have to adjust for.
I would imagine so. And I mean, I guess the good news is there's a week of film this time.
Yeah.
As opposed to assuming that the Seahawks were simply going to run, because they have historically done that. And then they come in and air it out on you. And Russell Wilson goes 31 for 35, four touchdowns. And, you know, we're sitting there licking our wounds in the fourth quarter, wondering how we're already down by 20 points. At least there's a week of film from Dallas. And Dallas played the LA Rams. And there's some things that you can probably look at that the Rams were able to do successfully against the Cowboys' defense, and some things that the Cowboys were able to do successfully against the Rams' offense, and try to figure out what you need to do in order to make sure that you have success against them this weekend. I mean, one thing that I think, and again, I hope we're not going the other direction from this on Monday morning, is that Dallas runs a pretty basic, pretty vanilla offense.
They
like,
do.
You're not seeing when you watch. I went back and watched that Rams Cowboys game last night, or at least parts of it. The Rams offense is anything but vanilla. They got all kinds of motions, and they got misdirections and play actions, and guys going this way and that way, and it's pretty beautiful to watch, actually. And then you got the Cowboys. They just kind of line up. Amari Cooper runs out 6 yards, turns around, catches the ball, dump it off to Zeke, hand it to Zeke. Like, they're not doing a whole lot of crazy stuff. And one thing they really don't do much of, and I know they did at the end of the game, and there was the controversial pass interference and all that, but they don't throw it deep all that often. At least they didn't week one. If we're sitting here on Monday talking about, man, they just kept beating the Falcons down the field, the Falcons secondary couldn't get any coverage, then we're talking about the same thing that we talked about last Sunday. And you're talking about an offense that seemed vanilla, not having a very vanilla day, which is something that the Falcons had happened to them quite a few times last year, especially in the first half of the season. Like, that can't be it, because at this point, the excuses are over with. Like, you got week one, okay, you lost for whatever reason on defense, whether it's Raheem Morris underestimating or the secondary not being good at covering, whatever it was. Like, there's no round two of that. You don't get to say, yeah, we underestimated these guys too. Like, there's no get out of jail free card on this one. You know,
no,
you
just have
to go, you know what they're going to do. You just have to go out there and actually execute and beat them.
They are a lineup in play. They don't do a lot of exotic things. Not saying that they can't do it. They don't throw the ball down the field that much, but they have the ability and the receivers to do it. And Dak throws a beautiful deep ball. He really does. He puts it in the placement where it needs to be. That ball against Gallup, the coverage dictated the way you threw the ball. And what I liked about it was the one thing about it is that you were in a situation where, okay, you got possibly the best corner in ball. And you beat them. Now, it was a push-off, but it's one of those things where they probably could have let it go. But if it's a push-off in the first quarter, it has to be a push-off in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what they are. They are a call away. But obviously, throughout the game, they didn't play well. I didn't think the Rams were extra special either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about, yeah, they're very, you know, as far as their formations, but they weren't. I mean, it was a black game, you know, and you kind of expected that. That was more of what a week one game I thought would look like. Nah, it was, you know, it was whoever survived was going to win that football game. But the Falcons have an opportunity to go down there and hopefully play better. I think they will. But with that being said, I'm talking on the mic. I'll be sitting on my damn couch drinking beer when they play on Sunday. That's what I'll be doing. They're going to be the ones out there having to get it done. So my whole thing this week and the rest of this day when we talk about the Falcons, it will always be, what are you going to do when it's not what you thought it was going to be? Now, you can line up and just go play, but they're going to throw some stuff at you that you didn't cover because they probably didn't show it or you didn't see it on tape. So, I mean, they're going to be a zone team because they do not want to, you know, let their young corners play man-to-man with these damn Falcons receivers, because they do. You can kiss the baby. If you get Julio and Calvin on these young corners that Dallas has, one-on-one, you kiss the baby, because it's going to be nothing but eating. But what did we talk about all this week? 21 is the key to the game for the Falcons. And I'm talking about Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. You got to run the football. You got to get this man some touches. And 21 for Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott. You can't let Zeke look like Zeke, man, because if he does, they're going to be hard to beat, because the simple fact is that Dak is a much better player when he's in 35 than he is in 39. Mm-hmm. Dak's a better player when he can play action pass as opposed to just straight drop back. He's a better player, and so you got to find a way to take those things that they do well offensively. You got to take it away from them.
Yeah, that's all that you said about Dak can be said about Matt Ryan too, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you're better in third and short than you are in third and long. You're better in play action than when the run game's not working and they know what you're going to do. Even though for the final 20 minutes of the game on Sunday against the Seahawks, Falcons didn't run a lot of play action. They just lined up with Matt Ryan in the shotgun and threw it all over the field. Granted, the Seahawks were kind of in a soft defense because they were up by 3 touchdowns, but that's correct. Neither here nor there. You're right. I think Todd Gurley is as much as any other individual in this game, and much more than some individuals, is so important. I mean, you talk
about he kills Dallas too.
He does historically kills Dallas. Yeah. Exactly right. And you know, again, I was watching that game last night, thinking to myself, "Damn, Sean McVay with some of these weapons that the Falcons have on offense sure would be fun to watch." Sean McVay as an offensive coordinator in Atlanta with Matt Ryan and Julio. Anyway, whatever. I got a little. I was fantasizing last night a little bit about what that would look like. We've seen Todd Gurley do it, though. And we also know the Cowboys are coming into this game without Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, Sean Lee isn't playing. Sean Lee almost never plays, but he's not playing either. You said it, Randy. They got a young secondary that can be feasted upon by these Falcons receivers. And if Todd Gurley can get going early, not just in the run game so you can get the play action going, but in the short passing game, you get Todd Gurley out in space against these backup linebackers that the Cowboys are going to have to play, you should be able to dominate the time of possession in this game. You should be able to go on long, sustained drives. That's the one thing that the Rams did do. I mean, they moved the ball a lot on the Cowboys. They just didn't score when they got into the red zone. It was actually a very Falcons-like game from Los Angeles last week. They put up like 450 yards of total offense. They just only scored 20 points. You got to capitalize when you get in those moments. That first drive for the Falcons last week was a good drive. I mean, it hit Calvin Ridley on third down, and Todd Gurley looked good. Yeah, you just stall in the red zone. You got to not do that. You have to get into the end zone when you get in the opportunity to do so. And if you do that 3 or 4 times instead of kicking 3 or 4 field goals or those turnover on downs, you got a great chance to win this football game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they have a great chance to win it, but, I mean, they have to go out there and do it. And what's the most frustrating part about this is that when you go back, just like you said, you go back and you look at the game itself, and you're just like, damn, if only this. What did we talk about? It might have been Tuesday, Bunk. If this. Yeah, it was a great play, but if he would have – and they got to get rid of that if in their in that vocabulary as far as their play. You know, in Dallas, again, that right side of that offensive line, they need to get after that right side of the offensive line for the Cowboys. Tyron Smith, great left tackle, banged up, neck injury, probably going to play. But, there, I mean, those are things where you got to take the advantage of it, and those are things where you game plan for. I wouldn't be surprised to see great lineup to the defense's left over there with Tack and those guys running games on that young right side, because you saw what the Rams were able to do. The Rams lined up Aaron Donald mostly on that right side where those guys were. There's no Aaron Donald. I get it. But you do have a great Jared, and I expect them to find a way to get after that side over there and, eliminate, the possibility of this being another disappointment for us on Monday morning.
Yeah, look, they've got the talent to do it. We know they've got the talent to do it. That's the frustrating thing. I think you said it perfectly about 5 minutes ago. What are you going to do when they start doing something you didn't expect them to do? How are you going to react? How are you going to adjust? And it can't take 3 quarters to do so. Because last time it took 3 quarters to do so, you're down by 3 touchdowns. Figure it out. You got to be able to make those adjustments on the fly. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to win in the NFL. And if you can't, then you're 0-2. And those phone calls on Monday, Randy, they're not going to be any fun at all. Let's have some fun phone calls on Monday. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. It's a really busy weekend. Max Fried back on the mound tonight for the Braves. We'll get you caught up on everything that's happening right here on a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
They have a good group of receivers. They got speed, size, but a lot of speed, good route running.
and you know, things that's just gonna keep us on our toes, you know, going into the game, just being aware and alert for, you know, anything that is thrown our way. So, you know, we're just ready, you know, keying in on what we need to key in on and just applying it on the practice field right now.
That's the voice of A.J. Terrell talking about what this weekend may look like against the Dallas Cowboys. And one NFL game in the books for Terrell, and he was fine. I mean, you know, he made a couple mistakes like you're going to make when you're a rookie. I don't think anybody in the secondary was particularly good, so I'm not going to, you know, I don't think single anybody out for praise. But I think this weekend for him, certainly for Isaiah Oliver, and for a lot of those guys in the secondary, is massive. I mean, I know Dallas is, you know, not a huge throw the ball down the field team. Like you said, Randy, they can when they need to. And I think they're going to go after those guys. They have the tape. They saw what Seattle was able to do against the secondary last week. They'd be crazy not to try to do the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's a copycat league. And I just saw that Dallas is going to have about 20,000 fans in the building. But yeah, I mean, there's certain things that they do well. When they put Amari in the slot, look for Amari to go down the middle of the field. That's what the Notorious have done with him since he's been there in Dallas. But yeah, I mean, the one thing we talk about how bland the offense is, yeah, but they still have talent that if you don't get, if you ain't right, they're gonna work you over. Amari Cooper will work you over. We know that I think Gallup is better than people really think. No, he is. That young man can play, and he's great at contested balls. I mean, the young man can ball, and he's only getting better. CeeDee Lamb, we saw what he did at Oklahoma. Had a nice flash on a punt return. I know that, so we know how valuable it will be to cover when he's back there because he's a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. I mean, that was the one thing that always stood out to me at Oklahoma about him. Once he gets the ball in his hands, this guy. He's gone. He's gone. And he makes you miss. He got them Zuzus, Andy. And then you got a face full of them little black things that be in that turf. That's he got the. But you know it's going to be a fun game. I think it has the opportunity to be a shootout. And I'm not talking about the typical Falcons down by three touchdowns and then they pad their stats. I think this has the capability of being a back and forth type football game because of the talent on both offenses. That leads me to the Falcons defense. You got to get a stop. You got to get the stops when you need the stops. And then the one thing about it is this, if it's fourth down, no touchdowns. All right? No. Okay. We got that all out the way, Andy. The fourth down touchdown, that's out the way. No more of that. That's out the way. That's in the rearview mirror. You got to find a way to get them one-dimensional and allow Dak to just sit back there and throw the ball. Let him pad the stat because a lot of Dak stats are padded also because sure. They were behind and coming back. So allow them to do that. Make it to a point where they can't use Ezekiel Elliott. You know, make it to a point where they can't use him. Because if they can use it, if they stay balanced, they're a hard damn team to beat. I mean, that's just what it is. We know the talent, but I mean, this is a game that the Falcons should win. You know, or can win. I should say can win. They can win. I'm not going to say they're going to win or not. They can win this football game. But it all starts with the mindset and the mentality that, okay, everything that I did, every mistake I made, yeah, I might make another mistake, but I can't make a catastrophic mistake. You know, I can't make the step. I can't go 45-degree angle knowing I'm not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Jake Matthews, I can't step that far on my left foot knowing that there's a plus linebacker and I got to get to him for this play to work. Those things just can't happen this Sunday.
Well, and especially can't happen in critical moments. That's what happened so much last weekend was every time the Falcons would like that fourth down touchdown to DK Metcalf happened right after a great play by Deion Jones to snuff out a run. I mean, he got into the backfield like a lightning bolt and just made a huge play. The big pass interference call was right after they got Russell Wilson twice on one drive. Like, the Falcons made big plays last week. They had explosive plays in the pass game. They hit Russell Wilson. I mean, they had tackles for loss to get into second and long situations. They just bailed them out over and over again, either by making mistakes or by committing penalties or whatever it was, putting the ball on the ground on that fake punt that was going to work. Like, there's a lot to clean up, for sure. We spent all week talking about all the things they did wrong. The bottom line is the Falcons have a ton of talent. And if they just play a smart, sound football game, they can absolutely beat the Dallas Cowboys. Problem is, we say that a lot of weeks, and then we come back on Monday, and it's like, damn, why'd they do this? Why'd they make this mistake? What are they this for? I think one of the things, and I mean, this is not going to be like a groundbreaking key to the game or anything like that, and I know we'll get deeper into our keys to the game at 1:20. Chris Goforth from the Falcons Radio Network going to join us at 11:20. Jarvis Davis, our Falcons insider, going to join us at 12:20 as we talk a ton of Falcons today. with all the little short dink and dunk passes that the Cowboys like to do, you got to wrap up this weekend.
You got to tackle them. You're absolutely correct.
As soon as they get the football, you got to get them on the ground. I mean, that's Amari Cooper. A lot of the yards he got last week were if he was able to just get just a yard of separation on a comeback route, and he'll just turn around quick and try to get past you. He's not one of those guys that catches it and then he's going down. He gets it and he turns around. He tries to turn up field. I mean, you got to wrap those guys up. Same thing with Zeke. Zeke scored. Remember that?
Like, he's caught it at the sideline.
There's five Rams there. He cuts back and gets in the end zone. And this is why it's important to bring up. The first two touchdowns that Seattle scored last week were pretty easy little dump offs to Chris Carson. I mean, that play at the goal line was a pretty creative design, but he should have never been so open.
No, it's not. It's Luke pass.
Yeah, I mean, he's right there.
It's Luke pass.
The second one, it was just Luke
pass.
It's Luke pass,
and you saw Dion. You go back to that play. It's Luke pass. Luke pass right. And you look, and you see Dion looking like, who the hell is coming across? And
then Ricardo. I'm trying to give the Falcons defense an out.
You get lost. And then the second one, that was just a perfect play against that defense. A screen where everybody's dropping out, get the offensive lineman in front of him, he goes untouched. But, yeah, they can't have those plays. One of those plays will be run Sunday. One of them.
Oh, absolutely it will.
Yeah, one of those plays will be run down there Sunday. Either the screen to Zeke or that loop pass to Zeke. One of those plays will be, you know, and if it converts to a touchdown or a big play, that's going to irritate the hell out of me, because that goes back to how did you adjust? What did you learn from the last game? Because, I mean, the season is all about what you learn from your mistakes. I mean, because you're going to make it. Nobody plays a perfect game. You're going to make mistakes. It's just a point of when those mistakes happen, Bunk, and how bad is the game affected by that mistake.
It's a happy hour Friday here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey.
Wake it up!
10 minutes away from Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal with Brian. The Braves back at it tonight after a day off at the Mets. Max Fried on the mound tonight. Very much looking forward to seeing him back out there. And hopefully he looks healthy, and hopefully he starts tonight and then in 5 days, and he's game one starter when the playoffs get here. Another hope that I have, I know we've talked a bit about it this week, is the updated odds on the NL MVP race. Freddie Freeman sits in third place. Fernando Tatis Jr. is still up there, but he's had a bad September. And recency bias is a thing for voters. If Freddie Freeman really wants this, and whatever, I'm sure he would like it, but it's probably not the biggest deal in the world to him. But for us fans who care about this kind of stuff, if Freddie Freeman goes on a tear in the final 10 games, he gives himself a real, because he's already in the conversation. Maybe not quite as in the conversation as he should be for NL MVP, but if he puts a really nice finish on this season, he can get it.
Is this going to be the MVP with an asterisk? Because we know how much the asterisk police out there.
No.
You know, I mean, I think Freddie is one of the best players. For the last few years, I've always thought that Freddie is one of the best players in baseball. Even though, you know, yes, he's a homer, but, I mean, hell, just look at him play. He's just that dude.
He is.
He's just that dude right now. But, I mean, I don't even think Freddie's worried about it. But the thing about it, if Freddie continues to play the way he's playing, the Braves are going to win, I think. Depends on who's on the mound. But, you know, I'm sure Freddie's not worried about it, so I won't make a big deal out of it. I'm not worried about it. I mean, you know, you're going against Tatis Jr., who is an electric player, but like you said, is struggling. And then Mookie Betts, who's one of the top three players in baseball. He's that good of a baseball player. They moved him to second base, I saw. I didn't even realize that they moved him. Mm. And he's still balling and doing his thing. So Freddie's in a good position right now. But more importantly, the Braves need to win. Because the thing with when you win these individual awards, a lot of it deals with how's your team doing. Unless you're a Mike Trout or somebody. But how's your team doing?
Yeah, you know, don't win an MVP unless your team's good, for the most part.
For the most part.
That's the way that it goes. And I know, you know, it's not the biggest deal in the world. I would just like it for him. It felt the same way about Matt Ryan's MVP a couple years ago. Just a guy who's totally underrated and doesn't get the due that he deserves, actually getting some credit for being a really good player. We've compared Matt Ryan to Freddie Freeman so many times with the way that those teams are constructed as well. Just solid, year in, year out, really good. And then, you know, maybe get a little credit. Win something would help also. Some college football this weekend as well. Still not a ton of great games, but awesome to have college football back nonetheless. Georgia Tech at home, 3:30 ESPN. So another nice national broadcast for Georgia Tech. UCF, number 14 in the country. UCF, 7.5-point favorites at Bobby Dodd. Hopefully Georgia Tech can kind of look the way they looked in the second half against Florida State and come out and get off to a better start against UCF.
Yeah, Brian just texted us. The game's on ABC at 3:30. But yeah, this is another you know, it's hard to say prime time, but a prime spot for Georgia Tech to go out there and play against a good UCF team. Yeah, Ultimate University of Florida. Yeah, UCF team.
I always say UFC too.
Yeah, that, you know, I always say it, but y'all know what the hell I mean. But anyways, I mean, a good team that's well coached, and they got them at home, so you're going to get a chance to watch them at home and see if they can build them off the momentum of the great gritty win they had last weekend down in Tallahassee. First of all, I'm not excited. I look forward to seeing this quarterback play more. Reggie Ball, that's my dude. He knows he's my man, but I ain't been this excited to see a Georgia Tech quarterback since Joe Hamm. I mean, this young man got the goods, man. And, you know, Coach Collins is really building something special there. But on some more local news, and it just came down that the FAU Georgia Southern game's been canceled for tomorrow because an entire position group at FAU is sick. So there will be no football in Statesboro this weekend, which sucks.
That does suck. I was looking at that game earlier. We were going to make our picks at 140. I was thinking about taking Georgia Southern in that game.
Yes.
All right, we'll get back to it. Atlanta United play this weekend. We'll get back to that a little bit later. U.S. Open scoreboard update as well. Tiger didn't do very well yesterday, not surprisingly. U.S. Open continues on. Justin Thomas in first place right now. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal coming up next. Brian Gebhardt joins us on a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Away from an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Get back into what happened last night between the Browns and the Bengals. Pretty fun Thursday night game.
It was a fun game.
Joe Burrow probably doesn't feel great this morning. Body hurts a little bit. They're going to get that boy killed. Yeah, man. 61 passes. He just got abused last night. He's tough, though. He stood in there and took it. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. Chris Goforth going to join us at 11:20 as well from the Falcons Radio Network as we continue to get ready for Falcons and Cowboys this Sunday afternoon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get to a big deal, small deal, no deal in just a minute. But I got a couple more questions about this photo of you,
okay,
Randy. And if you want to see it, go over to 92.9 The Game on Twitter. It's a picture of Randy, and his happy hour setup is, I mean, it just couldn't be any better. You got the Georgia mug, which is full of a beer. You got two bottles of Chattanooga whiskey. You got the rye and the Cask 111, which, again, my money's on you this weekend. I think you could do it. And then you got the hat. And for anybody who hasn't seen the picture yet, the hat says Yamologist on it.
Yes.
And it's just phenomenal. Like, you could, I think we could sell those hats on the website and people would buy them. I'd buy one. It's great. Where'd you get that hat?
My wife got it for me, man. She surprised me with it one day. And it was funny how she surprised, because when she got it, Sammy Ward, and he came and said, "Daddy, look," and I saw the hat, and I just busted out, and I just busted out laughing when I saw it. But yeah, man, I mean, it's gonna be a fun. I don't know why this weekend next weekend's gonna be the funnest because my damn dogs are gonna be back. But this weekend, for some reason, because all the rain and it's so clear right now and everything. And again, thanks over to my man Dan over there at Chattanooga Whiskey for bringing those bottles for me. And yeah, me and 111, we're gonna go toe to toe maybe Saturday night. But yeah, I mean, because it's been a while since we've done the photo, so I just wanted to, I was like, you know what, I got these two damn bottles sitting here.
Yeah,
it is a happy hour sponsored by Chattanooga Whiskey. Let me go on and take a picture. And of course, you know, I didn't take the damn photo because it looks too good for me to take it.
But it was a lot of fun. It's not a selfie. It's not. You got both your hands in there. The microphone's in the picture. It's black and white. Like, I don't know. I'm 35 years old. There's never been a picture of me taken that cool. I don't know how many more years I'm going to have to live for a picture to be taken that cool. But it's the show picture for today.
Yeah.
And I'm a part of the show.
Yeah. Oh, Willie P. Yeah, bookmark this for my next time you make fun of myself. They know self, Willie P. That's style right there, pimping.
What does style. He think? You took the picture with your foot?
I don't know, man.
How could
that's
it be a
style,
selfie?
Dog.
Both your hands are in the picture.
Man, please. I'm not
and if Willie P's selfies look that cool, then I don't think you'd give him
Willie
a hard
P.
time
be cool.
About it.
Whatever, man. But, man, speaking of Willie P, we were talking about it. It's so good to hear Willie P and Tommy and Sam and Greg, our weekend staff back, our guys back on the weekend. It was good to get in the car and actually hear them this weekend. So so glad that they're back on. And I know that our listeners are glad they're back also. But, yeah, man, I mean, the cool factor that I have is only as cool as the woman that I have.
Hmm.
You get All that? Right.
You know, I got it. Yeah, that sounds like a good takeaway of the day as well. Let's get to Brian Gebhardt.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. Also brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee High Malt Whiskey. And Brian, we were, I think, less than 60 seconds into the show before Randy started slandering your name today. So
really?
Pretty good start. Yeah, it was awesome. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, you liked it. I mean, that happened, Randy.
Brian, now, I did not slander anything. I pointed obvious things out. If Wendy's here, we're more social media savvy. That's all I said. Not saying that you're not, but Wendy, you know, she has her pulse. She has a pulse for with it. She has her finger on the pulse for these things. That was all I was saying.
All right, that's fair. You'll have Wendy back Monday. She'll do all the social media stuff then. I mean, you know, I don't know what you want from me, but I'm going to get into this first big deal, small deal, no deal, because nothing's better than the Miami Heat right now, and they're going up. They went up 2-0 on the Celtics, bringing their record in the playoffs this year to 10-1. With their only loss coming against what was the best team all season in the Bucks.
Oh, that's a big deal, man, because of the fact is that how they this zone that they're going to is giving them fits. It's giving the Boston Celtics fits. It gave Toronto fits. Jimmy Butler, just the way he plays the game and the Heat culture that they have down there, he fits right in, along with the, you know, the Duncan Robinson, who was hot beginning the game. But I just look at it as far as the defense. Eric Spoelstra, Andy, you said that, I said it, one of the most underrated coaches in all of basketball. He's that good of a coach, handpicked by Pat Riley. And, you know, they're up 2-0, got Marcus Smart throwing chairs and getting mad and y'all better come on type joint, man. When you having those kind of issues in the locker room right now, it ain't a good sign for you. But Boston is too talented right now to count them out.
Yeah, it's what happens when you crush their spirit like the Heat do.
Yeah.
The Celtics looked like they were in charge of that basketball game. And then the Heat, you're right, they went to that zone and they scrapped and clawed their way back into it. And Jimmy Butler's just relentless. Goran Dragic, by the way, I know he's been a good player in his NBA career. He's never been this type of player before. He's unbelievable the way that he's playing right now.
Andy, I remember when we traded for him, and because you remember, he was just came off of, I think, most improved in Phoenix, mm-hmm. and then he kept getting hurt and, you know, kept getting nicked and hurt. Man, he's playing lights out, and I love me some damn Bam out of body. Woo. I just like that cat, man.
Yeah,
I just have a
bunch of good basketball players and a really good coach. I know Jimmy Butler's a star, but it's not your typical this era of NBA where you have your one or two superstars, you kind of let them do their thing. Maybe you run a high pick and roll game for them and let them isolate, whatever. Like, they run an offense. They play a variety of different styles of defense. They play a zone, which they didn't go to until the second half last night. Didn't play at all in the first two series, just so they could save it for when they needed it. And they deployed it last night and it worked. And I know it wouldn't be like a ratings bonanza, but just as a basketball fan and kind of a basketball nerd, how fun would it be to see the Heat and the Nuggets in the NBA Finals? I mean, that's just two well-coached, hard-playing basketball teams.
Boring as hell.
No, it would be awesome.
It would
be so great. Yes, it would. Stop. And you'd get your Heat in the Finals. It would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
Why? Because LeBron wouldn't be there?
So would you Andy Nugget now?
No, I don't care about any of these teams.
Oh.
I just think it would be fun to see them play against each other.
You might be the only one. You and Dave from sales.
Maybe. Whatever. I don't care. I'll live out here on Heat Nugget Island and enjoy my time. I know the networks don't want it, but I don't care about the damn networks. I don't get a check if they have high ratings. I just want fun basketball.
Big deal, so there you go. No deal. 37-year-old Frank Gore being the starting running back for the Jets against the 49ers on Sunday, the team that Gore is the all-time leading rusher for.
It's a big deal, man, because Frankie G just keeps going on and on, man. And we know this. Adam Gase would prefer him being the starting running back than Le'Veon Bell. All right, let's just call it what it is. He never wanted Le'Veon Bell. You can tell they don't have a great relationship. He loves Frank Gore. He loves Frankie G. And but, I mean, the Jets are just awful, man. They are just a bad football team because they don't have any talent. I mean, I love Jameson Crowder. Jameson Crowder should not be a leading receiver. And he's hurt. So, I mean, I don't know what you going to do, man. They are just an awful team, man.
It has to be really weird to be Frank Gore, because I know you know him, actually. You've worked out with him a little bit, but he just seems like a really like professional, mild-mannered, yes. go-about-your-business yes. type of dude.
Yes.
And he's been in some good organizations before. Like Brian said, he led, he's the all-time leading rusher in 49ers history. Like, he's been on good teams and good organizations and good situations. And now he's 37 years old and on the Jets. And he's just kind of like looking around like, what the hell is going on with this crap? But whatever, I get to start this weekend. It is a big deal that he's starting at 37.
Yeah.
I just have to wonder what he really thinks about what's going on inside that locker room and inside that organization.
The other fun thing about the Jets and their backfield and Adam Gase and having Frank Gore, they also signed Kalen Ballage. So for all those Dolphin fans out there, they've got the Gore-Ballage combo that they had in Miami a few years ago, which was
I thought he was going to be better coming out of Arizona State.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a little bit better as well. One other quick one, we got just about a minute left. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade, who many consider a top 10 pick in the 2021 NFL draft, announcing that he will return to play for the Buckeyes this season after declaring for the NFL draft just 4 days ago.
I think that's a big deal, man. And remember we talked about it earlier this week because he was about to sign with the agent and everything. And to everybody else, do they let these other kids, if they want to come back? But it's a big deal. And you know what? Kudos to that young man because, like you said, Brian, he was going to be a top 10 pick even if he didn't play this year. For him to go back out there because of his reasoning, he wanted to win a national championship, wanted to get his degree and all these things. I mean, I always give, you know, big ups to those young men that make that decision.
Yeah, it's a great thing for Ohio State. It's a big deal. I think other guys are going to do it too. The schools would be ridiculous if they didn't let him back in. And I hope a lot of other guys do come back if it's the best thing for them. I mean, do whatever's best for you. If you want to make sure you stay healthy for the draft and all that, but it's great. I mean,
ain't nobody stuck y'all fish and grits, even though I wouldn't mind y'all sending some more of that over here. But yeah,
what happened?
I always agree with Andy. I agree, Andy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Fish and Grits Podcast.
Y'all can't see some of them Fish and Grits, though.
They so good.
Banging!
So good. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Get a look at all the big games this weekend right here on a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.